It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 134 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Since we're still pretty early on in the life of X-Wing 2nd Edition, we thought today would be a good time to talk about some more list building ideas, specifically talking about build-around mechanics you'll find in each faction.
Yeah, today we're going to start with the Rebel faction, and hopefully this conversation will spark some interest and have you building some new lists you wouldn't have built normally.
So to start off on this topic, we're talking about build around mechanics, and I want to be really clear about what we mean when we use the phrase build around mechanics, because obviously when you're list building, you could pick pretty much any ship or upgrade card and kind of design your list around whatever that ship or upgrade card is. But when we're talking about build around mechanics, we're more specifically talking about abilities that on their own typically don't do well or can't really work at all, and they need specific other cards to be effective. And the reason you'd actually want to use cards like this is because the benefit you get is nonlinear. When you're combining these certain build-around mechanics with other cards, the benefit you get from the combination is actually better than the ships or abilities on their own.
Yeah, and it's also worth mentioning that these build-around mechanics often don't stand on their own very well. They do require some extra support.
And actually, I think the best example of this, even though we're going to talk about Rebels today, the key example we'll look at is the HAL Runner TIE Fighter Pilot from the Imperials. This is a classic build-around mechanic that we saw in 1st edition and it came back in 2nd edition. HAL Runner is a TIE Fighter with the ability, while a friendly ship at range 0 to 1 performs a primary attack, that ship may reroll one attack die.
Right. I mean, and this includes HAL Runner. So on her own, for 40 points, you get a TIE Fighter that can reroll an attack die. But for each friendly ship that you have nearby at range 1 of HAL Runner, that ship also gets a reroll. So the more ships you can pack right up next to HAL Runner, the more value you're going to get out of this. And once you get around 5, 6, or 7 ships, suddenly your 40-point TIE Fighter seems like a steal for the amount of value it's providing to your list.
And I think this is a really good example because it clearly delineates between using the card on its own and using it in combination. Because clearly the benefit using it in combination is awesome. But for what is currently a 40-point TIE Fighter, HAL Runner could use this ability herself, but she's just rerolling one attack die. And that's not really worth the investment you're already putting into HAL Runner. There's other TIE Fighters that can do extra damage, Gideon Hask, for a much cheaper point cost. So the real value you get out of HAL Runner is by using it in combination with other cards. So today we're going to look at the Rebel cards, though, and talk about these build-around mechanics. A lot of these are ships that you might actually not think of. We're going to be covering pretty much all the content currently available in the extended format, but actually a lot of that overlaps with what's available in the second edition format, too. So there's clearly build-around mechanics both in extended and in the second edition format.
Right, so I think it makes sense to start with some of these mechanics that are focusing on combat modification, just like HAL Runner. So we're going to see some of the Rebels versions of that HAL Runner type mechanic. And one that I thought would be a good idea to start with would be Gavin Darklighter. Folks from 1st edition might remember this ability as Etana Bots in an E-Wing. Gavin's ability is when a friendly ship targets an opponent in Gavin's firing arc, that ship may convert one hit result into a critical result.
And right away, we can again see that comparison to HAL Runner 2, where this is an ability Gavin can use on his own, changing one of his hit results into a crit result, but you're not going to get a lot of value there. And you're already investing a lot of points in an E-Wing if you're including Gavin. It's not that much more expensive right now to just move on up to Korn-Horn, higher initiative, possibly a better ability, depending on your circumstance here, obviously. But Gavin's ability really shines when it's in combination with other cards that are going to use this effectively, specifically having a lot of ships that are going to be able to convert results into critical results.
Right. And what I like about Gavin here is, I mean, yeah, it's going to drive your list ability in a similar direction of HAL Runner. You want to bring as many guns to the table here to get as much power out of Gavin's ability, but it doesn't have as much of a flying restriction. So the ships don't have to be that close to Gavin. In fact, they can be outside of range 3 as long as they're targeting the same ship that Gavin has in arc. And so this can allow you to use, you know, ships like A-Wings that don't necessarily want to be in formation flying, but are a pretty good swarm ship. Combine that with the E-Wing Gavin here, and you have a swarm type list that flies very differently than the TIE swarms that Howlrunner uses.
And we've seen in second edition so far that critical results, even on just two attack dice shots, can be pretty devastating since there's not as much token stacking available right now except for a couple select ships. So even a two attack dice shot, if it gets a hit and a crit, there's a good chance that you're going to be able to push that crit through on a ship with lower shields, which we're seeing in second edition ships. Shield values have generally gone down and hull values have gone up, which means that the value of those critical results are generally better.
Oh, absolutely. Shields are down. Crits are getting into hull a lot quicker, and each one of those crits does matter. So if you just get, you know, two critical results on a target during combat, if you didn't destroy that ship, it's going to be pretty crippled the following turn. My personal crit that's irking me right now is the one that gives you two stress tokens. That is very different than getting the one stress token from first edition.
And while these functions are cool on Gavin, Gavin's still on the more expensive end of build-arounds. That's going to, you know, once you get him in your list, that's already more than a third of your list covered. There are some other abilities that modify your combat effectiveness here that come in a little bit cheaper. One of them is a huge one from the Saw's Renegades expansion, Saw Gerrera in the U-Wing.
Yeah, and here, you know, Saw is providing a reroll to friendly ships, but at a range of 0 to 3. So that sounds way more powerful than Howlrunner, but those ships do have to be damaged. So this is a very interesting condition. Once again, we see a much wider flying style allowed by Saw, but a little bit more difficult to trigger just because you do need to be damaged.
But there are a couple things I do like about this ability. Compared to Howlrunner, who's just a 3-hit-point TIE fighter, Saw Gerrera's got a whopping 8 hit points, so it's going to be a little bit harder to take down. Still rocking 2 agility dice, as long as you keep those wings open on your config. But I also like some other things where I like these abilities that penalize your opponent's damage, which is interesting, especially if you're combining this with other low initiative ships, where suddenly if your opponent does a bunch of damage in one turn and starts dealing those damage cards to your ship, suddenly you have an offensive reroll that you didn't have at the start of the engagement phase.
Right. This is what I would like to call a catch-up mechanic, which I think are super fun. Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it. When your opponent damages your ship, then you can turn the table right back at them and return fire with a pretty well-modified attack, assuming you can just take a focus action with, say, your generic X-Wing, and then it takes some damage, and now you got a reroll and focus for your attack back. Hopefully you can return the favor.
And this is an ability that I think generally favors using ships with lower shield values and higher hull values. You're playing a little bit more for the long game, where you're going to start getting that modification, not in the first couple rounds, but in the later rounds. So you're going to want to use things like Y-Wings or any of the Rebel large-base ships that generally have, you know, 6 or more hull. So they'll get damaged early on, but they've still got a lot of life left in them, and hopefully they're going to be able to shoot a lot more. And then suddenly you've got a reroll modification from Saw Gerrera, and then whatever single action you're getting that turn, you're going to be able to hit a lot more effectively.
Z-95s and A-Wings are not going to work well with Saw Gerrera. I think Y-Wings are probably where I'd like to start there. And then kind of going the opposite direction, so we saw Saw and Gavin both work well with more of a swarm type style. A Jan Ors piloting the Hawk is going to take your list building in sort of the opposite direction.
While a friendly ship in your firing arc performs a primary attack, if you are not stressed, you may gain 1 stress token. If you do, that ship may roll 1 additional attack die.
Yeah, so the general strategy with Jan here is to get 1 big shot. That means you want to look at a ship that has a big dice pool. That YT-2400 is a great candidate here with that 4-dice primary. Or your Ghosts are another great candidate for Jan Ors. Yeah, so Jan Ors wants these ships with big dice pools, but also that have the upgrades necessary to provide a good amount of modification for this big dice attack.
And Jan Ors is a great example of a build-around mechanic that is usable most of the time. Obviously, you're going to generally have more than just Jan Ors in your list, but this ability does not really favor using it on smaller ships. Yes, you could use Jan Ors to give a Z-95 or a Y-Wing an extra attack die on their primary shots, but going from 2 to 3 attack dice, while normally a pretty big leap, that's not exceptional for the investment you're putting in for Jan Ors. You really want to go to these ships with high attack values or lots of points of modification and give them those extra big attacks so you can get that spike damage in a turn. obviously, like you're saying, Carson, having this on a 2400 or on a VCX would be great. But even just having it on an X-Wing and going from 3 to 4 attack dice, you're basically getting the value of a proton torpedo without having to invest in putting a proton torpedo on that ship.
And it does give you a bit more flexibility. You know, you're not going to need a target lock to fire that 4-dice attack from your X-Wings. And it lets you be reactive. You can choose which ship this turn is going to be most impacted. You know, if someone has a range 1-shot, we'll absolutely boost them up and roll 5 dice. So I definitely like that flexibility that Jan Ors provides.
And there's a general hierarchy to abilities that change die results or add die results. The most common one we see a lot is abilities that modify dice results. And then you see abilities that let you roll extra dice. And then you see abilities that let you add die results, which are very rare. Jan falls into that middle category, which is less common than the abilities that just modify results. But you're changing your damage potential when you roll extra dice, right? So offensively or defensively, if you're rolling more attack dice, attack damage is linked to accuracy in X-Wing, so if your attack's going to hit, you're rolling more dice, it's going to do more damage, and Jan is great for that. So that's a, you know, a higher tier ability than things like Fearless over in Scum and Villainy, where they're just changing a result. You're not actually changing the amount of damage you can do. Jan is potentially changing that damage and increasing it.
Absolutely, and I just want to put in a little note there that when you pick up and roll 5 dice, that is always very fun. It's pretty good if you have the mods to back it up, but it's just fun to roll a bunch of dice.
That's one of the simple joys of X-Wing, is just rolling a lot of dice.
Absolutely. So most action efficiency cards are not inherently built around mechanics, because action efficiency is always great, and so many ships appreciate extra actions. But we do have a unique action efficiency build around card here in the Rebels, Edrio Two Tubes. The X-Wing pilot who really likes a focus token before he activates.
Yes, and Edrio is a prime example of a build-around mechanic where it, like, just the superficial details of Edrio aren't that interesting. It's just an Initiative 2 X-Wing, and it's more expensive than the Initiative 2 generic X-Wing, obviously. But other than that, it's nothing exceptional except for that really awesome pilot ability, which is before you activate, if you are focused, you may perform an action.
All right, and so this is a very powerful pilot ability where Edrio can get up to 3 actions in a turn if you provide that support to give him that initial focus before he activates.
And there's lots of ways you can get him that support. He obviously pairs well with his brother, Benthic Two Tubes, over in the U-Wing, who can just pass out some focus tokens. But Edrio can fit well in any list that can either pass focus tokens before activation or just, you know, coordinate actions to other ships. Coordinate a focus to Edrio, let Edrio use some other actions. And X-Wings in second edition actually have a lot of action economy thanks to the servo motor S-foils config, where you can get things like boosts, and they natively have barrel roll now. And getting multiple actions in a round actually makes this really low initiative ship that much more valuable, because you get some really interesting repositioning options either by boosting or barrel rolling before you activate. And getting multiple actions also just makes Edrio a very effective platform for things like proton torpedoes, where you can get fully modified proton torpedo shots. And we've seen so far in X-Wing 2nd Edition that spike damage that you can get is really valuable, and it's really the only way you can cut through a lot of the higher agility ships like TIE Defenders.
Now, if you want to build your own very defensive Rebel ships like TIE Defenders, the Rebels have quite a few options here. It just requires the damage of your other ships in your squad. No big deal. So the Rebels have a whole slew of mechanics that I'm going to just group as the selfless mechanics.
Yeah, these are abilities that generally reduce damage to you, but the main way Rebels do that, rather than token stacking or adding results, they tend to just spread the damage out across all their ships. We see a prime example of this in Selfless, which is a Rebel-only talent upgrade. It reads, while another friendly ship at range 0 to 1 defends, before the neutralize result step, if you are in the attack arc, you may suffer 1 critical damage to cancel 1 critical result.
So here, instead of one of your ships going down, you can spread that damage off. You know, have your ship that still has shields take a critical damage to protect its friend. And what's cool about the Selfless talent in itself is, while there's a bunch of pilot options for the Rebels that are going to boost the defense of their friendly ships, Selfless lets you, one, make those ships even more helpful, or, you know, find other ships and add them to this slew of Selfless Rebel ships.
And Selfless is inherently a build-around mechanic because it necessitates that not only you have other ships in your list, which you will, but that they be close to you because they're that range limitation of 0 to 1. We see a similar ability in Biggs Darklighter over in the X-Wing. Biggs can effectively do the same thing that Selflessness does, except that you can suffer a crit or a hit and cancel a matching results. So it's a little bit more variable there, but obviously you're putting in a really big advancement by including Biggs in your list. So those are your more basic selfless type mechanics that we see in Rebels, but there are a couple more that get a little bit more complicated or require a little bit more specific effort in list building. A prime example of this is Yvonne Verlaine over in the Y-Wing. This is a Y-Wing that allows you to give your allied ships extra defense dice. So rather than Yvonne suffering damage, Yvonne is just able to spend focus tokens at the start of engagement to let an allied ship at range 0 to 1 roll an extra defense die for the rest of that round.
Right, and unless you have benthic two tubes passing Yvonne an extra focus token, that means you are making Yvonne a target. You know, you give up your focus token, you got just one agility, so you're really going to be forcing your opponent to redirect their fire towards Yvonne or another ship. Yeah, I mean, they can try and go through that ship that you boosted the agility for, but say, you know, it's someone like Luke Skywalker that you brought up to three agility now, and he's got all those force tokens on defense. Basically what that means is your opponent really doesn't want to target them. They're going to be forced to target Yvonne or one of your other ships.
But that's the thing. That's a core strategy in X-Wing, is controlling your opponent's target priority, because yes, you can basically make your opponent want to target Yvonne, but Yvonne's not an overwhelmingly expensive ship on its own. And the value you can get by protecting a more expensive investment in one of your other ships is really powerful. And Yvonne can actually take the selfless talent so that if your opponent chooses to target whatever ship you're protecting, you can actually then suffer damage and reduce the damage on that ship even further.
I mean, I think at her base value, Yvonne is great at messing with your opponent's target priority. But I think where she really excels is when you have a great ship to protect. Luke Skywalker is a great example. But say you just have the Millennium Falcon and you give it an extra green die. Well, then those 13 hit points are now backed up by two green dice, and that's a huge difference.
And it's one that'll pay off over time. But there are a couple of factors you want to take into account if you're trying to use Yvonne. This is similar to what we were saying about Jan Ors, where, yes, you can use Jan Ors as an effect on most any ship, but certain ships, it's way less effective than others. It's the same case with Yvonne. Yeah, you can bring ships with single agility values up to two, but when you really start to see the values by increasing ships from two agility to three or even three to four. And it's actually really good, too, since you're only adding a defense die, you're not actually adding evade results. It's really good to use this ability on ships with multiple points of modification for their roles. So one of the first games of 2nd edition I played, I faced off against a list that had Yvonne Verlaine in it, and it had Luke Skywalker. And that was really hard to get damage through on Luke, because Yvonne was allowing Luke to roll three defense dice. And since Luke could get both a focus token and had 2 points of modification just coming from his force charges, you know, pretty much every defense roll had three dice and at least one way to modify it. And that's really hard to chew through, whereas normally Luke with just two defense dice, most of my normal three dice attacks could at least get one damage through.
In a similar fashion, the Rebels also have the option of Kanan Jarrus piloting the Ghost, who can spend force charges to reduce the amount of attack dice that opponents will be rolling at friendly ships.
And here we see a damage reduction ability that is actually in more of the form of a control effect, where you're actually affecting your opponent's ability to operate rather than just protecting your own ships. But we see a similar outcome here, where you're lowering that cap on potential damage for your ships, where Kanan's able to spend that force charge, lower attack dice values down, and suddenly either you're going to have enough defense dice to probably protect yourself, or at least limit the amount of damage coming in.
Right, and you know, Kanan's fine at protecting himself, but when you do combine them with some of these other selfless options, they can protect each other exceptionally well.
Well, yeah, we've got other great options like Magva Yaro in the U-Wing, where Magva Yaro actually is another control effect that puts a limit on how many dice your opponent can roll. Magva says, well, a friendly ship at range 0 to 2 defends, the attacker cannot reroll more than one attack die.
Right, and this is, you know, perhaps a bit more narrower of an ability. A lot of times opponents aren't rerolling attack dice. They're just spending focus tokens for modification. But I would say if you're seeing a lot of TIE bombers in your area, well, then Magva Yaro is a pretty great way to defend your rebel ships.
Yeah, the real value we see on Magvi Yarrow is for attacks that typically require multiple rerolls. So an average attack might only require one reroll, in which case Magvi's not helping you. But yeah, if you're getting TIE bombers coming at you with proton torpedoes, and they're depending on rerolling at least two, maybe three dice just to make sure they get as many hits out as possible, that's when you really start to see the value for Magvi.
And so before we move on from the selfless mechanics, these are all great in themselves, but these are probably mechanics that of build-around mechanics, they can stand on their own the most. But why we included them in the build-around section is the more you concentrate your list with these mechanics, the more exponential their defensive benefit becomes.
I mean, yeah, this is a great example of non-linear benefits, where the more you add these components to your list, you're not just getting like a cumulative total of, oh, each of these individual effects is good. The more you add these effects, it's substantially better if you have two or three of these rather than just having one.
Yeah, a lot of these mechanics were, about the same and very prevalent during first edition, not too long ago. And I was surprised to see so many of those mechanics carry over into second edition. So I think these cards are ripe for players like Tim Stern to take the fun out of X-Wing again.
His name's Tom Storm.
Oh, my bad.
Well, hopefully you got some better ideas for ships you can start building around in your Rebel lists. A lot of this stuff, like I said, is available in the second edition format, so I think it's going to be relevant for some time. I do like just looking at a lot of these ships where, yeah, there's a lot of great ships out there that stand very much on their own, even in the Rebel faction, but I really do enjoy building lists around these kind of more narrow mechanics. Having Edrio 2 tubes combined with Benthic 2 tubes is a really fun way to start a list and try and fill in the gaps there, and I've really seen the payoff in a lot of cases where having those mechanics tied together is way better than they would be individually.
Oh, absolutely. The reward I get from a list builder is usually in pursuing these build around mechanics. They're just like a fun puzzle to solve. How am I going to get paid off for taking Magvi Yarrow? I just think it's a really fun intellectual pursuit there. And we're going to continue this discussion in later episodes with Scum and Villainy's build around mechanics and the Empire's build around mechanics. And I would say the Rebels are probably on the low end of diversity in their build around mechanics. So stay tuned for both of those other factions.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow the show on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us. And thank you to everyone who's become a supporter of the show already.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.